doing things. God made man, and man made religions. Religions were made for the uplift, moral and spiritual uplift of man. Religions were made for man, and man was not made for religions. We had to make the best use of all religions. The purpose was to know God, and to know God we must know ourselves first. So man is considered to be the highest in all creation, and the highest purpose before us, as given by all scriptures who came in the past, they are with us today, is to know God, and to know God we must know ourselves first. And self-knowledge precedes God-knowledge. So ever since the world began, this mystery of life, the question of the mystery of life has been with us, and masters have been coming from time to time to solve this mystery of life, what a man is. You'll find they came to the conclusion that there is a maker of this universe. It did not just come about by itself. But the one point is sure, that the maker himself is the unchangeable, but this world created is constantly undergoing change. Why the maker is unchangeable and why the creation is changing? For the reason that God is made of one substance only, all consciousness. As it is made of one substance, there is no question of decomposition arising. So God is eternal, the cause of all creation. But the universe that was made by matter. Matter is made of elements, and elements are made of atoms. So they are composition of so many things. So whatever is a composition, that must decompose someday. So that is why the universe, which is made of matter, is changing. So it is temporary. On the same way, God made man after his own image. God made man body of matter, which is made of the same elements and atoms with which the whole universe is made, so it is also changing. But we, who are the indwellers of the man body, are conscious entities made of one substance, consciousness. That is why there is no question of decomposition arising. As God is eternal, so our souls are also eternal. But the body is made of atoms, so that will decompose, so matter is changing all along. It is said that the very particles of our bones are renewed within 7 years. So we are the indwellers of the man body, not the body itself. But body is changing. Our souls are under the control of mind. Mind is under the control of the outgoing faculties. And outgoing faculties are identified with the world so much so that we have forgotten our own self. We are under a grand delusion. You find why. Take the example of a boat which is going down the stream. There are 4 or 5 men sitting in the boat. They are identified with the boat. They are also rowing down the stream as the water of the river is flowing down. One man just steps out of the boat. He sees the boat is going down the stream. Out of sympathy, he cries, "Dear friends, you are going down the stream." The men who are identified with the boat, they look to the water around them and also to the boat in which they are identified. They say, "Well, what have you to say? We are quite ordinary, quite stationary." You will find when two things are changing at the same rate and we are identified with them, naturally that appear to be stationary. So when a man, how to go out of this delusion, that's the part. All masters have been coming, the very first question they put to us, "Please, man, know thyself, who you are, what you are. Are you this 5-6 feet high body that you are carrying?" You would say no. Because time does come when we have to leave the body. So we are the indweller of the body. This body is left behind at the time of death, which is no bugbear, but it is a change, passing from the physical plane into the beyond. So we have to leave that body someday. So it is considered to be the man body as the golden opportunity that we have got by the grace of God, in which the highest aim is to know ourselves. And to know ourselves, we will be able to know God as well. Because God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, nor it is known by intellect, nor by vital ears. It is the soul alone that can know God. Like alone can know the like. It is the conscious entities. We are a drop of the ocean of all consciousness, but it is environed by mind and outgoing faculties. We are identified with them so much so that we have forgotten our own selves, who we are, what we are. If you just put this question to a small child of 3-4 years old, you ask him who you are, he simply opens his mouth and opens his eyes. He feels something here. But as he grows in years, he sees. He says, "Who you are?" He says, "I am Mr. Joseph, I am Mr. Schmidt." Then he further goes, becomes identified with the outside world. And when you ask him who you are, he says, "I am a Christian, I am a Mohammedan, I am a Hindu, I am a such and such." Still further, you will ask him, he will say, "I am an Indian, I am an American, I am a European," and so on. Man goes so far from his own very self that he cannot analyze himself, "Who I am?" This very question has been the slogan of all masters who came in the past. So please just tell us, "Know thyself." This also you will find the old Greeks said the same way. "Gnosis eoton," that means know thyself. And Christ also said, "You are spirit in man. Don't you know you are the temple of God? God resides within you. You are the spirit in man. As spirit is eternal, so why you fear that you will die?" So greatest of man of all the masters who came in the past, they have been speaking about it. So first question is to know ourselves. But Guru Nanak says, unless we know ourselves, we are under a grand delusion. As I told you just now, because we are identified with the body, which is made of matter, the matter is a composition of atoms that must decompose someday. But we are identified with it, and the matter with which the whole universe is made, that is also changing at the same speed. We think that it is all stationary. But when the masters come, they look at it from that level, that everything is changing, and they place before us, "Oh man, you are going under a grand delusion. This world is not lasting, it is changing. So we have to awaken to that truth, how, if you know how to rise above body consciousness, how to step out of the boat of man-body, then we will know everything is changing. So that is why Master, whenever they came, they gave out, "Oh man, you are building houses on sand. You are just rowing down in a boat made of paper in the water." So at this present condition, we do not know all that, although we are passing in the same way. So this question we can solve only in man-body. So man alone has the capacity and privilege to realize God. That is considered to be the golden opportunity in which we can do so. So that is why all masters who came in the past, they spoke very highly about the man-body. So please tell us, man-body is a wonderful house in which you live in. It has 9 apertures of 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, mouth and other genital organs, but we cannot run away out of it. Breathing goes out, but some power is pressing it back into the body. It cannot remain outside. Surgeons perform operations, and the operation lasts for hours together. The whole body is cut, but still with all that, we cannot run away out of it. Some power is controlling us in the body. So we are, this body is working so long as we are in the body, and we are in the body so long as we are controlled in the body by some other higher power about which we have to know, which is called the God power. Similarly, you will find so long as that power is controlling us in the body, we are working in the body, when that is withdrawn, we have to leave the body. Similarly, whole universe is going on well controlled. But when that power is withdrawn from there, dissolution and grand dissolution sets in. In 1955, when I came to the United States, some scientists met me. We had a long talk over this. Lastly, I put him a question, "Have you been able to create an ounce of consciousness?" They said, "No." They have been able to create an energy, you see, atomic power and so on. Wonderful. But they have not been able to create an ounce of consciousness. Then I asked him, "Well, have you ever analyzed atoms?" He said, "Yes." "What did you find therein?" He said, "The movement is going on in the atom. Is it well controlled or haphazard?" He said, "It is very rhythmic and very much controlled." Then I asked him what it is that keeps very movement in the atom under control. So that controlling power is what is called God by the name of world, or naam, name, or kalma, whatever you call. So in the man body we have to know this mystery of life, who we are, what we are. We are the indweller of the man body. At the time of death we do leave the body, but if now we know how to leave the body, I think this whole delusion will go out. So all masters have been speaking very highly about the man body. Mormons tell us it is the noblest of all creation. Similarly, the Hindus call it the form divine. Similarly, the Hindus call it the form divine, and the Christ referred to it as the temple of the living God. So you will find in the scriptures, in the Taittiriya Upanishad, it is said when the all bodies were set up, the souls of the rishis came, and they selected the man body as the highest of all creation. Similarly, you find in the Mohammedan scriptures, they also say when the bodies were set up, angels were asked to bow down before the man body. So we are fortunate in this, that we have got the man body, which is the highest in all creation. So highest aim is to know God, because in man body only we can know God. So for that purpose we made religions, as I told you. Religions are our schools of thought, in which we are joined with the highest aim to know God, and first to know ourselves, because self-knowledge precedes God-knowledge. So you will find we have to just find God. No, we have joined, religions have two aspects, one the outer, the other the inner side. So we have joined, taken up the badges of the different schools of thought, and we have followed up. First thing that we do is just to read scriptures. Scriptures, what are they? Scriptures are the fine record of the teachings, of the experiences that the masters had in knowing God, and before knowing God they had experience in knowing self, what things helped them on the way, what things stood in the way. So that is a fine record of the experiences what the masters had in that lifetime. So by reading them, that develop in us an interest, or awaken us an interest in us, who have the same very experiences what the masters had in their life with God. And there their scope ends. This question of mystery of life arises when we just look all around us. A child is born, he grows young, again grown up, then old, then passes away. And some children even pass away in early life. Some in the term, I'm in the middle of the age. But what it is that leaves the body? And this very question, you see, has been before us ever since the world began. Shakyamuni Gautam, you remember, he was a prince. He was later on called Buddha the Enlightened. He went to a town for a visit. Great reception was given to him. When he was riding in a chariot, he passed through the streets, and when an old man passed by before him who could not walk, he was tottering with all, he was very weak, very thin, very lean, so that his eye fell on him, and he questioned what it is, because it was the first event in his life to see an old man like that. The charity told him, this body grows old, weak, and lean. That struck him, that's a wonderful body we have got, so beautiful, that leaves is such a fate. Then passed on further, another event came to his notice, that the man was very much dangerously sick. He was just in a very pitiable condition. He looked at him and says, what is all this? Again the charity told him, well, friends, this is man gets sick, and this is the faith the man has before him. That very, touched him very much to his heart. And the charity thought, perhaps, let us go out. We had come only to enjoy. These events have just made the prince sad and pensive. So he just took his chariot out of the town. And so happened, there four men were carrying the dead body of a man. Again question arose, well, what is all that? And the charity told him, well, prince, we have to leave the body, and this is the body that is being carried to be cremated or whatever custom is. It took to his heart, what is all this mystery of life? So beautiful body of a man meets with this fate. After all, we have to leave the body, then who we are, what we are. This very question took possession of his mind. He came to his palace, where they said a son was born to him. You know that when a son is born, every man decides him. And what to speak when a son is born to a prince. but he had no joy, no happiness. He simply looked, put a glance on the child and the wife and left the scene. Went to the jungle to find out the mystery of life. Later on, when he found out, he was called the Buddha, the Enlightened. The same very question is with us now. The seeker after truth went to a master, knocked his door. The master inside simply asked who you are. And he said, Master, I do not know who I am. I have come to know who I am. Really, truly speaking, if that very question is put to us, do we know what we are, who we are? You will see, the same reply will be that we do not know. We simply know some aspects of the man. So if we just study man, all these scriptures are finally called of the inner way, experience of the man body, unravelment of the body, you might say. So you find man has three aspects. One is the physical body, the other is thought intellect, and third is a soul, embodied soul, spirit in man. So physically you'll see we have advanced so much. We have known how the system of body works, how it is retarded, how it can be resumed, that retardation can be removed, and how the health can be restored. There are so many systems you'll find with us. Oldest is the Ayurvedic system, then comes the Yunani system, then comes the allopathic, naturopathy, homeopathy, electronic treatments. So we have improved advancement in that way, very wonderful. And also we have developed socially, politically. We have got intellect, and intellectually we also dwelt very wonderfully. We have made very wonderful inventions. We can hear voices from thousands of miles through radios. We can also see now through televisions who is speaking as well and what he is speaking. And we can go around the world in an hour or so. The world has become very small. We are now trying to reach the moon. With all these efforts, are we happy at the point? You'll find no. The very intellect has gone to invent such like weapons as hydrogen bombs, neutron bombs, and it is afraid if this war commences, the world will come to an end. The reason why we are all unhappy, because the third side, which is our own self, we have paid little or no attention to ourselves. We are conscious beings, conscious entities. But we have given food to the soul, to the body, we have become physically strong. We have given food to the intellect, we have become intellectually strong. But what food we have given to our own souls? Our souls are conscious entities, and the food of the conscious entity can only be a conscious one, the bread of life, or the water of life. We have read about this in our scriptures, but that information to what we already know in our brains. But truly speaking, we have not been able to where the bread of life is. How can we have that? How can we give that to our soul? That's the point where we lack. For that reason, you'll find in the scriptures that the various masters, they refer to this food of the soul, of bread of life. Christ told, I am the bread of life. This bread of life has come down from heaven. Whoever eats of it or partakes of it gets everlasting life. About this, other scriptures also refer to it, that the bread of life can only be a conscious bread of life, because we are conscious entities and God is all consciousness. When our soul is just liberated from mind and outgoing faculties, and we come in contact with that controlling power which is called God, all consciousness, pervading all, controlling all, that is the true bread of life of the man. Then what is this about the bread of life? You'll find the definition thereof. Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. What is word? God is wordless, absolute God, or nameless. When it came into being, that is God in action power, or the God into expression power, is what is called word or name. That word or name is the cause of all creation, that's a conscious God controlling and maintaining all. When soul comes in contact with that, that is the bread of life. Similarly, you find even in another life, Master say, once Christ went to a well where a Samaritan lady was carrying pitcher full of water over her head. He asked him to give her water to drink, and she, out of inferiority complex, said, well, you people have no connection with the Samaritans. Why you ask water for me? And the Christ said, had she known that who it was who is asking for water, she would have given it. But this water which she carries only quenches thirst for a while. Had she come to me, I would have given the living water of life, which once drunk would quench the thirst forever. So bread of life and the water of life, which is the food of the soul, that is the conscious bread of God in action power into expression power, which is God is light and God is sound principle. So you'll find our spiritually not strong because we have given no food to our soul. So for that purpose we have joined the various schools of thought to know about that bread of life and the water of life with which we can our have, we can become spiritually strong. When we become spiritually strong, you'll find on the spiritual health depends the health of mind and body both. Had we known about our own self first, these new inventions what we have got, that would have, instead of being a dread to us, they would have become a helping factor. So when our Master say, well, look here, you dwell physically, intellectually, wonderfully, but we have known little or nothing about our own self. Then they say, well, you are in the world, this man body has been given to you as a golden opportunity which you can solve the mystery of life. You will find if in an accident we just, our clothes are torn away, we say, thank God, I am saved. Our body is more valuable than the clothes and other outward things. But in another accident, if we break our leg or arm, even then we say, thank God, I am saved. So you'll find our life is more than the body, and body is more than the outward possession. That is why the Master says, not body more than the raiment, and life more than the meat. Now you'll see what we have done. What we are doing practically, our life is more valuable than body, and body is more valuable than all outward possessions. But what we are doing from morn till night, we are just spending our most of the time to have possessions of the outward things, amassing like anything, everything. But we know this body, who has just is the first companion that we had at the time of entering the world, and when we leave the world, this body does not go along with us. Then how those things which we have only got in connection with after having this body, How can those things go along with us? This is what the Master says, well, look here, you have man-body more value than the outer things, but you are spending most of your time for that alone. And still further, if you are to care, you are caring for your own physical body, for maintaining it. It does not mean in any way that you should not maintain your body or should not have outer possessions. These things are given to us to make the best use of them, you see, so that these things may enable us for the attaining the ultimate goal that is before us, to know God and to know our own self. So all masters who have been coming, they have been enjoining on us to live, keep your man body fit. The rishis of the old tell us, we must maintain our body at least 100 years. Kabir says, man body, you have got as a golden opportunity. Keep it as long as you can, because in this man body alone, you can know God and no other. Guru Nanak also puts it same way. He says, well, maintain your body so that you may be able to see God in man's body, and when you are seen, you may pray the praises of the Lord. So man's body is to kept up, but then more valuable than this. For what purpose? That purpose is to know God, and to know God we must know ourselves, which is the most valuable as compared with body and the outward possession. So what we have done for our own self? That's the point what they say, you see. What does it profit a man if he gains the possessions of the whole world and loses one's own soul? If we have not done anything for our own selves, have not known what, how can that be? And we can realize our own self after analyzing from mind and outgoing faculties. Well, we have done little or nothing for our own self. So with all our advance in physical and intellectual, we are not happy because our third side is quietly ignored. By reading scriptures, we find that how the masters knew themselves and came in contact with God, what things helped them on the way and what things stood in the way. This is we are after, for which purpose we have joined various schools of thought which are called different religions. So we have to see whether what our scriptures say. And as I told you in the beginning, that we, our bodies are working so long as we are in the body, and we are in the body so long as we are controlled in the body by a higher power. That is the controlling power which is keeping us in the body as well as controlling the whole universe. That is called God. So the nearest approach where we can contact that God power, which is controlling all creation and us in the body, is within our own selves. What we are doing now, we are seeking Him in the outside things. So saints tell us, the Beloved is already within you. Why are you seeking Him outside? Of course, He is the maker of all. He is pervading in all. Unless you find Him within ourselves, which is the nearest approach to Him, He is the very controlling power within us, we cannot find Him outside too. When that eye opens, He is also first within, then all the universe appears to be the whole temple of God. So body is the wonderful house in which we live in, and also God, Baba, is controlling us with the body and also resides in every heart. So two Guru Arjan says that the two brothers, soul and God, both reside in the same house, but pity it is that the soul cannot talk with God. Other masters give the same example to show that our souls are just one with God, lying in the same bed, but our souls are under the control of mind, and mind are under the control of the outgoing faculties, we are awakened outside and asleep within. And God is awaiting for us when we open our eyes within. So we will find God, we have to find Him in this very temple of the man body. God does not reside in temples made with stones by the hand of man, but He resides in the temple made by the hand of God, which is the man body which we are carrying within our own self. So for that reason all masters tell us, instead of your searching in the scriptures, the scriptures are in which the past masters are speaking. They are also needed. By reading them, they say they found Him within. All masters say, tap inside. Emerson say, tap inside, peep inside. So to find Him, we will have to find Him where is the nearest approach, which is in this body and keeping us in the body. So those who are seeking Him in the outside things cannot find Him. Some go to find Him in the mountains, at the riverside. Of course, the sensation of solitude you can have there, but still by going there you have to enter the man body again. So those who have found God, they all say, well, just you look within, you see. Just withdraw from outside. So all masters tell us, if you find Him, you will find Him in the temple of the man body. You reside in there, your controlling power, which is God, also resides there. Unless you withdraw from outside, you cannot find Him. So our state of affairs is like that, that our souls are under the control of mind, and mind is under the control of the outgoing faculties. We are just identified with the outside things so much so that we have forgotten our own self. What to speak of God, which is the controlling power within us. So for that we will have to tap inside. But tapping inside, how to do it? For that one thing is necessary, that those who are given up to the sensuous way of life, it is for them to just have temperate life. Just control of the outgoing faculties which are identified with the outside things. So we must have purity of heart. All masters therefore say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Even a dog, when he sits, you see, on the ground, he cleans the ground with his tail. When any of a high official comes, he makes so much preparation for him, quite clean. And we think, if we want that King of Kings should manifest in our hearts must be pure. So all masters enjoin that thing as the stepping stone to spirituality. Ethical life is stepping stone to spirituality. Sermon on the Mount speaks of the same thing. Eightfold Path of Buddha gives us the same thing. Jainis and other masters say, well, look here, if a man has very dirty clothes which gives out bad odor, you would not permit him to sit near you. How can you expect with a man who has got so many dirty clothes, with dyed with the passions, that God will permit you to enter His room? So purity of heart is the first thing, requirement to know God. For those who have got, it is easy for them to just stay inside, withdraw from outside. So withdrawing from outside, even you come within. You will find when out of the burning rays of the sun, you enter any house, you feel little rest. So when you withdraw your attention from outside, you stay within you, your own self, you feel little rest. But still you will find, unless you rise above senses, you cannot have a glimpse of God power controlling to you. So how to rise above senses? This is a practical question. For that, so many methods have been introduced. Some are man-made and some are God-made. So man-made are difficult, hazardous, time-consuming, involving bidding, etc., for which we are hereditary, not good teachers. There are other ways too, as a matter of influence, drawn by intellectual wrestling, that is a subject for very highly learned people. What to speak of the children and those people who are not learned. So there is a way back to God easier, and that is the natural. You have to just withdraw your attention from outside and then rise above senses. When you rise above senses, you'll find that very controlling power is within you. It is you, the expression of which is called attention, which is diffused in the world, that you have to concentrate or withdraw from outside. When you just stay in there, you find a little rest. And when you rise above, you find the contact with God. That is why you find all masters who came in the past, crossed and said the same thing, you see. They said, except ye be born anew, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus, who was the ruler of the place, came up to Christ, said, I'm old, how can I re-enter the womb of the mother and be reborn? And Christ told him, well, look here, flesh is born of the flesh, and spirit of the spirit. Flesh is born of the corruptible seed, and spirit is born of the incorruptible seed. So it is a birth. First birth is our birth in the flesh, and second birth is naturally when we rise into the beyond, which we do at the time of death. You know what happens at the time of death? Soul withdraws, you see, from the feet. The dog comes out at the back of the eyes, and the eyes are upturned. Then the dog scene comes. So that we have to do while alive, you see. That is why Master again said, learn to die so that you may begin to live. How to die? With all masters tell us, Guru Nanak says, well, learn to die 100 times a day. That's it. This very Prophet Muhammad told us, oh man, you got the man body, go and learn how to die while they die. And the man asked him, well, will this death lead us to the grave? The Prophet said, no, it is not such a death that will lead you to the grave, but from darkness to light. So is it possible? You say, Master says so. And Paul said also, I die daily. So Saint Plutarch tells us, those are who are initiated in the mysteries of the beyond, their soul has got the same experience as it has at the time of leaving the body and death. So it is something self-analysis, you might say, rising above body consciousness, or die while alive.
read the scriptures that man's body, you see, is the mediator scale, you see, of the cosmic world. In the cosmos we have got three things, physical, astral, and cosmic. We have also been given bodies to enable us to work in those planes when we want life. But pity it is that we cannot take out our rise above the iron curtain of the man's physical body. The first step is just to rise above the physical body, to die while alive, or to be born with you. This is a practical question. For this, there are ways and ways, as I told you. There are yogis' ways which take up the lower chakras and the six kundalinis in the body. They control the breathing air, vital air, as well as the sense current of the soul which is working in the body both. They withdraw and come to the seat of the soul which is at the back of the eye, which is called the Agya Chakra, the sixth chakra. For that, they have to be go through the three systems, Neti, Dhoti, and Vasti. Neti is a system of 8 to 10 feet long thread they put into one nostril and take off from the other and cleanse the upper portion. In the Dhoti, that is a 3-inch wide cloth, 18 to 20 feet long. With that, they eat up and cleanse the intestine rhythm. Then Basti is a lemon-like system with which they cleanse the lower portion of the body. Then they have recourse to the Hatha Yoga practices to make the body fit. Then they control the breathing also inside and the sense current at the feet of the soul in the body. That is long, long travail. These systems were introduced in the past ages when they say man lived for very long years. Nowadays, we generally have a life that will go beyond 60, 70 years. How can those systems which we introduced in those ages, we can now do? We are arrested in our faith. So masters introduced the natural way, which we are already daily practicing. And that is what the control of the attention which is diffused in the world. They do not in any way involve breathing in it, because God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, nor by intellect, nor by the vital ears. The vital ears do not help us to know God. Why should we not eliminate it altogether? To be fit the time. So master say what? Be still, physically and intellectually. And know that you are God. Our souls are of the same essence as that of God. We are spirit in man. But macrocosm is in the microcosm of the man's body. To find God, we will have to enter the laboratory of the man's body. That is what is called withdrawing from outside. And when we come within, we have to rise above, learn to die so that we may begin to live. We have to be reborn into the beyond, which is called the kingdom of God. That is why it is always said, kingdom of God cannot be had by observation. Kingdom of God is within you. So unless, wherever it is, you enter there, only then you can enter the kingdom of God. There is no other way. For that, this is the natural way. By withdrawing attention from outside. You say this we experience in everyday life. When you are sitting in the very absorbed thought, you see, somebody calls you, you do not hear. Your ears are open, but you don't hear. Why? Your attention is absorbed in something else. Similarly, Newton was sitting by a roadside, solving certain mathematical problems. So a band passed by him while playing. Then later on came up to him and inquired, when has any time passed by this way? He said, I don't know. So this is the natural way of withdrawing attention from outside. Our outgoing faculties work when our attention is withdrawn. So it is the whole seat of the attention, which is the outward expression of the soul in our body. That is called sukha, wakefulness. If you like to feel it in the act of meditation, close your eyes, open good perspective, you find the thought of wakefulness at the back of the eyes, that we are, you see. But that is identified with the outward faculties, and outside things so much so that we cannot differentiate. But this is the first step to withdraw from outside. For that is required purity of life. When you enter inside, you have to die, have the same process as soul leaves at the time of death. The words of Luddha, this is just to be born anew. When you rise above, what you find? That you find God. You find God. In what way? God is wordless, which is called nameless one. When it came into being, it is called world, or nam, or shabda, or kalma, Mohammedans call it. And another masters also give their own names to that thing. So God in action power is the cause of all creation. When it came into being, there was vibration. And vibration results in two things, light and sound. God is light, and God is sound. All masters tell us that. If you read this scripture carefully, you find they say, eye is the light of the body. If your eye becomes single, thy whole body shall be full of light. How the eye becomes single? That's a practical question. But if that eye becomes single, light is there. You are not to create it, visualize it, or premeditate it. Some people just think, see the light outside, you visualize inside. That is your own night. But by working or withdrawing your outgoing faculties from outside within your own self at the feet of the soul, which is at the back of the eyes, you find light there already there. So this is why our master says that each body is the true temple of God, in which the light of God is standing. And that also you'll find, if you shut the doors of the temple of the body, you'll see the light of heaven. You also hear the voice of God, or the sound principle. See? And that sound principle only just expressed, you'll find in the revelation, where it says it's like the running water. It is like thunder. It is like half of flame and half. So you find you can hear the voice of God and you can see the light of God. Two kinds of statements you find in the scriptures. One is that nobody sees God at any time. And the other statement you find the masters avowed that they have seen God. The question I put to Christ, he said, behold the Lord. No reasoning he gave, you see, because son knows the father and others in the family. Guru Nanak was put that very question. He said, I see God everywhere. Kabir says, he says that I have seen God in every atom. Working. All masters say it like that. They have seen. You remember the name of Swami Vivekananda, who came to the United States as well. He was an atheist before. He was challenging one and all, is there anybody who has seen God? And he was led to one Swami Ramakrishna Paramahansa at the time. He was living in Calcutta. He went over to him. You see, masters don't act in pose, they live in the natural way. He was just wearing cloth around his legs and churches and all these dead heads even losses, so they heard the Master, here's King God. He put in the question, Master, have you seen God? He said, yes, my child, I see him just as I see you. And more clearly than that. So these are the faces we show. There's something to be seen, there's something to be heard. And what is to be seen, it is the light of God. And what is to be heard, it is the light of God. So Mr. Ray tells us, we must be able to see God with our own eyes. We must be able to hear the voice of God with our own ears. And Guru Nanak was put the question, with what eyes can we see him? And he said, it is not the eyes of flesh and bones with which you can see God. It is the inner eye or the single eye, which is called as the third eye or the single eye. That is it in each man there. Even the blind man who has got no eyes or their faces, they also got that eye. You know, if that is opened, they see the light of God. That is why Christ said to his disciples, blessed are you, for you see things that the old prophets and righteous men could not see. Blessed are you, you hear things that the old prophets and the righteous men could not hear. So there is something to be seen, you see. Learn when you rise of a body constantly. When you learn to die while alive. When you know how to leave the body at your. So these are the things with us when our masters come to the world. They go on this, you know, way of teaching naturally. By withdrawing the way of the Sutta Yoga, you might say, the Sutta Yama Yoga, and the way of divine. Between the child and old and the life, the learned and the unlearned both can have experience of the same. You will find their yogas, they have their contact with the various bodies we are carrying. So Hatha Yoga practices go to make our body fit. And Prana Yoga practices can prolong our life. We are meant for the physical body, we can make the best use of them, but to see God is something else here. With the Mantra Yoga, we can have a control of mind for a while. And with the Nana Yoga, we draw inferences, we come to some conclusion out of intellectual reasoning that there is something. So we have got various types of body, physical, astral, and if we learn how to write about them, we have the natural faith to see the light of God. So it is the natural way in which the children can see God. And it is said, kingdom of God, be like little children, suffer little children to come unto thee, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So it is a question of withdrawing of attention from outside to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eye. So, all masters say this is the way up. Tulsi has referred to it the very way. When you close your eyes behind your pupils, there's darkness. When you penetrate through that darkness, you find light. So, similarly, when you master say, be still, physically and intellectually, then a sort of transport arises in which you have a glimpse of God, light and sound teaching. This is what is called as Jyoti Maharaj and Vishuddhi Maharaj. So Jyoti Maharaj and Vishuddhi Maharaj is the way back to God, to Absolute, from where it emanates. So these things you will find all of the masters have also referred in your scriptures. Socrates said, we heard the Pachiva sound, which dragged them into a new world altogether. Plato spoke of it as the music of the sphere. Pythagoras referred to it as the music of the all harmonies, you see, and took clothed in light. We find in Veda too, they have got the Shruti and the Jyoti. So Mohammedans also have said the same thing. They say Kalma and Kalabhi Kareem, Bhagya Atman. Whereas they refer it as the unstuck fire. All your eyes being jelly feet, fire burning 24 hours of the day and night, what sort of fire which is unstuck fire. And he refers to it as the sound as the Trosha. Trosha is the cause of all creation. Even the Lord they refer to it as Tao. So I mean to say, the ways within what the Master had, he led them to the ultimate goal. Philosophy deals with theories, and mysticism deals with reality challenge. So psychology deals with at the level of the intellect and have two, I mean, objects and the subject and the object, but mysticism does not require any duality, direct contact with God. So that is gained by masters who are competent, who have the competency to just raise our soul, which is embedded under the mind and all the faculties, open the inner eyes and see the light of God. And the scriptures tell us that our eyes and our ears are sealed. Unless those ears are broken, we cannot see the light of God and we cannot hear the voice of God. Even this light and sound is a means to the end. It is as the sun rays and sun is the same. They cannot be just kept in watertight compartments separate from each other. Similarly, God and God in action power is the same. Which is called word, naam, shabda, or kalma, or so on. So that is the way, natural way back to God, which is controlling us in the body and controlling all creation. So we have to know that, and that we can know only from the mind body. So when the masters come, they look to us from the level of the mind body, not or from the level of the soul. They never address the voice. Indians are silent, yeah. Hindus are Muhammad, they hear me. They say, oh man, oh embodied soul, your true home is the home of your father, your conscious entity. Your true home is of all constituents. Why are you stuck fast under the control of mind and matter in the physical world? This is not your home. This is temporarily given to you, golden opportunity in which you can know God. So this is the digest of the teachings of the masters who came in the past from almost all religions. Of course, for that I told you, they tell us to have clean life. Zoroastra were asked, what should we do? And he said, join the army of God. And he was asked, what is the qualification? And he said, righteousness. And he was asked to define righteousness, what righteousness meant. And he said, good thoughts, good words, and good deeds. So we had joined the various schools of thought, our religions. They were our recruiting centers from which we had to join the army of God. But we have forgotten God aside. We have joined the various centers and fighting one against the other. This very question was put to Guru Arjan, what is the highest religion? He says highest religion is to have righteous life, good words, good thoughts, good deeds, and contact with the God in action power within, with the good in you, which is called Naam, Ashabda, our word, our Prasha, and so on. So that is the controlling power keeping us in the body. In the yogis, when their eyes are about to fix their movements in the body, they are detached with sound current and reach the sakshara in the first place. So these are the teachings, digest of the teachings that the master gave out from time to time. The natural way back is always through just concentration of your issues that has been outside. will just come to the feet of the soul, and that is where the whole body is illumined by that. It is just like a bulb in the room, like the whole room. Similarly, the bulb of the soul is at the back of the eyes, from where it enlightens and illumines the whole body. You withdraw there, this is natural way. Then the body, you rise above body consciousness, you just find light which is already there. You also hear the voice of God, these are the two ways back to God. Jyoti Maharaj and Shruti Maharaj released us to the place from where it emanates. So we have got the man body, highest of all creation, to enable us to see God. Now we have to see that we have joined the various religions. Have we attained that object? If we have obtained, well and good. Fortunate we are. If not, we should do something. Now the time is passing. Most of the part of the physical life has already spent. Little is left. We should go higher on or headlong down to just find that ideal or the aim of life which we can only have in the general. So there is no need of changing one religion or the other. The truth is one. Is spoken by various masters, by various words. It is the very controlling power within you. You have to simply find Him by withdrawing outside what you see inside. Your eye opens, you see Him all around you in the whole universe. So first, the body is the temple of God. When through the grace of some person who has attained that object, with His guidance and help, when you open your inner eye to see the light of God, then you see the whole universe to the temple of God. That is the pervasive everywhere. So these are the teachings that have been given to us from masters from time to time whenever they came. Blessed is the man who has got it. That religion is blessed. Truth is there already. It is not reserved for one religion or the other. Because it showed us that masters have been coming in all religions and they are doing the same thing as I quoted you from various scriptures. So we must remain in our own religion, be true to your own self, but live it and just find out the truth which is already given by the masters who came in the past. We need somebody at least who knows the way. Even to have this, understand the right import of the scriptures, if you need somebody who has seen the way or who is on the way, who has some experience of the same sort as the master had in their life, he will be able to give you the right report of scripture. Because masters said something what they saw in themselves. If you are going to interpret it at the level of the intellect, you will find there are so many versions. And that is because of so many different schools of thought. So whenever masters said one thing, they meant one thing by the one word they uttered. They say God is light, but we intellectual people say it is light of intellect. Well, it is substantial light, you see. It's all masters have offered it. Well, I say it is my watch. I mean by the word watch, this watch, not tree or animal. Similarly, when master said something, they meant the same one meaning attached to the one word, not two, three, four. So those who have seen the way, they say the same thing. Truth is one, you see. So we have seen in the past, they are all balanced in their thoughts. And even now you'll find somebody, you'll find the same truth, which is already given in the scripture. So thank you so much for your patience here. Welcome to the best.
I'm sure that after such a thought-providing and thought-provoking address by the Master, you will be having a few sessions in your mind. We don't have much time, but we would like to have some of the questions which are in the minds of our audience, and we'll just one after another to fulfill your questions very quickly and slowly and audibly, so that the master can reply to them. Now, we may open the house to questions, please.
Well, it is but natural, you find, when a child is born, he has a teacher and mother, brothers, etc. When he grows up behind the school, he needs some teacher to help him. When he thinks of any particular line, say, medical line, the books are already there, of course, medical books. With all that, they need somebody who has known the working of the body by anatomy. So this is also a subject, all outer subjects which relate to our outer faculties, where we do need somebody in spite of the books on the subject there. Well, in a subject which relates to beyond outer faculties where the intellect becomes filled, I think it is common sense to think there needs somebody there too. Somebody, I tell you, they have reactions of the past. They have got some experiences, but they do not know how to proceed further. Sometimes I've met some people who see light, and they have been treating their brain and eyes for that, because they did not know what it is. So naturally, guidance is required. Man learns from society. Man is in the make, of course. Though they are more make, they have their experiences. But for future guidance, they do need somebody how to proceed for them. Call it by any name you like. God has two aspects. One is the worldless state of God, which nobody has seen God at any time. And one is God into expression power, which is expressed in two ways, light and sound. So we are, the soul, we are of the same essence as that of God. We are also light personified. So this is probably meaning the image of God. God is light, and we are also light or world personified. Of course, God is nobody, and we also, we are living in the body, we are not the body, that is material, physical body. Your conscious entities are the same essence as that of God. So that means the image of God is all consciousness when it came into being. So we are also conscious entities. Yes. I think that for want of time I did not go very far into it, but I gave a little reference to it, that this man body is a microcosm. You see, microcosm in the microcosm of the man body. In the microcosm we have got three planes, physical, astral and causal. And even beyond you see supercausal and the spiritual planes. According to these planes we have been given bodies. So first these bodies have been given us to enable us to work in both planes whenever we like. But pity it is that we cannot take out this iron curtain of the physical body and affect it. At the time of that, we do leave the physical body. We have now to learn how to leave the body. And then naturally we have got the astral body to work in the astral planes, beyond causal body to work in the causal planes. And later on, just enter the two home of our father, which is the soul, which is life. So life, soul does exist after we remember.
Thank you.
Yes. No, Rama means all pervading God. He used to just remember God by the name of Ram, or Rama. Naturally, even in man, least the body at the time of death, who is maybe a little conscious of the God power, he will give out the same name. But the remembrance of God at the time of leaving the death, he remembers God, O Ram, O pervading God. Yes,
please.
No, 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 no. Do the best I know. Thank you. You say?
In the beginning of the research, we found that all religions are man-made.
Yes.
In the church, I have some suggestions. But most of them are the church. The church is the only religion, really, is that the religion that means that God is not a man. And this one, in the only church, we said there are 7 days seen God divinity.
Yes.
There are some who have been told, we have been told by the Lord Master that sometimes that is man-made, and this method is exhausting us, it is God-made. I think that is true. Should I believe that what our method is, even as the God-made? And then,
I think if you put one question at a time, that would be better. There are two now. I'll reply one by one to the best I know. Yes, what third?
Well, I'm going to
Well, what I mean to say is, the religion has two aspects. Outer and the inner. Outer is the social body we have set up, in which we have got regular training in the spirit of performing certain rites and rituals, saying prayers, or reading of scriptures. These are the school of thought set up by us for the purpose of knowing God, which is pervading all. True religion, religion word means, word religion means two things. One is the outer form of the religion, and the other, which is what comes from the word reading back, lead us from misery to mind, to bind back our souls to God. That is the religion not made by man, the outer forms which were introduced by man. Even God is, who was manifest in man, it is man body alone in which he just laid out certain schools of thought, outer forms are the rights and equal sectors. So this is what I meant earlier by the religion which is made by man, made for the spiritual and moral uplift, the purpose of joining these are our schools of thought, made by us for that attaining that higher purpose of life. This is the one thing. What about
you?
I do. Introduce certain things which are not in everyday way of life. This is what is natural, that is directly concerning the attention, which is the outcome of the soul. It is expression, we are outcome, expression of the soul in the body is called attention. That is the dying of the intention, as I gave you example, that that way we are having everyday life, but we have never aware of it and notice it. As I gave an example, when Newton was sitting by a roadside, solving certain mathematical problems, his attention was just absorbed in that. He could not hear the band which passed by while playing. only this is natural, the attention without the attention, with no hypothesis to see as we all that. So this is a natural world, it's a child, an old man, in the sickness to do it. The other case is parents, you're sick in a very posture, siddhasan, padamasan, control your breathing, other things. This involves something, other things in the way. These are, of course, give us some progress, but very hard, as I told you, rigorous and time consuming, for which we are not prepared. The natural way is to be still, physically and intellectually, and know that your soul is of the same essential type of God. That's a matter of self-analysis, rising above what is consciousness, to be reborn, and learn to die so that you may be infinite. One involves breathing, inferences and other things, this involves nothing. So this is what I mean by natural way. There are so many practices done by individual postures and others. That is, you, whatever you should do, the Hatha Yoga practices, you will have physical body. Strong, that's right. I never oppose it. So you just have the control of breathing, you can prolong your life. That's all right. That's so fine. My point is, this is a natural way by controlling the how to control your outgoing faculty, your attention, which you choose in the world, how to control inside. Well, this is a natural way. If anybody is willing to have it, he can have a sitting in the morning, most welcome, he will see how it is down and how it rises above body consciousness. This is a practical question. Given, you see, a series of which is given by giving a sitting. That does not take more than half an hour at first. It doesn't matter to be seen, to be seen, and that you have, and this is not to me. I mean, fun making, fun of it, man means, man body means, body of both man and woman. Well, has it? Some common sense to start to sleep. Now that's all I say, man includes everybody. Mr. Grassroots, no, I have to like, you might have. Polygraphed it. I told you perhaps you would like to have a feeling of somewhat which is called soul, that is by the act of meditation. Close your eyes with expectation and open with expectation. And you'll feel after a little while wakefulness, a kind of wakefulness at the back of the eyes, and that you are. And that's a matter of, I think, as I told my friend already, how to withdraw, concentrate, diffuse attention within us at the feet of the soul in the body. You'll see body is separate, you're separate. These are things of practical experience. How it is done, this only can be had when you experience the same thing. All of them are souls. This is what the scripture says. Because they have feelings, all of them. Not only are God, I mean, man, but not brains in other father, you cannot make them understand. You see, the little father understand that the real thing of the man, and the action of the past or the present, that they're bringing on out of order. You tell them something, they don't follow. But there's little hope for them. Yes, yes. Yes. I reply, you see, concentration, you see, there's no high road to that. If you want to concentrate, you must concentrate, concentrate, and concentrate. By regular habit, you learn. But we can have also help from others. How? A fruit growing tree bears fruit in, say, 6-7 years. is that is giving some scientific food, that previous food even 2 or 3 years. Those trees which are not inert, truly speaking, so they can give future results. Why not a conscious man from the most stronger conscious man help Buddha? That can be helpful for a while. Once you are up, then you can dwell from day to day. Otherwise, you think you can do, of course, in due course. There's nothing lost in nature. But you can have secret food that you help for somebody to totally strong enough, as I told you. God with one face, when he wanted one thing, where the world came to be. So yes, God's power is so strong. Our souls are of the same essence as that of God. We have also very great power, but our souls are just the expression of which is attention that is diffused in the world. So my soul they feel very much weak. If we can withdraw attention within our own selves, we are very strong souls. I really like the sun, do not burn us, but if it is passed to a strongest line, it burns anything which you put on the other side. But for a man who has controlled his attention, he can help others. The sick of the result. That is why I said, when the sick bites someone who just has that power, you see, who controls himself, you by radiation, you get to help. That is that magic.
Yes. So
naturally, you will find, you see, if you take it in due course, it will take time. But the food for the hungry is what the body trusts me. You have 5 buns of oxygen comes to hell. When a child is praying for God, it is God knows my child is after him. It is he who makes some arrangement to bring him constantly somewhere. Where he can be put on the earth, he will be helped. There will be God in him, even in the man. Who can help you is not the Son of Man, but the God in him, which is manifest, that can help you. In giving a contact with his own self. Who can give you a contact with God, who has got no brother, no sister, no parents? You will have to say to God, is out in every heart. Where it is manifest, that manifested God in the human soul can help you. That comes out itself, will appear, so the gift is ready.